How many of you have been watching your favorite television program? And then they take a commercial break. And on comes this commercial about some type of product with this special deal. Maybe it's a new type of can opener or even a raincoat for your dog. Maybe it's something that slices, dices, and purees. And the person giving you this spiel is telling you all the wonders of this product and how you need this product. It's going to revolutionize your life. It's going to make changes in your life, always for the better. And as you watch this commercial, as you're familiar with them, you've all seen them, he begins to go on, and then they get to the point where they tell you how you, yes, you can have this marvelous product. And a phone number flashes on the bottom of your screen, maybe also a web address. And they're telling you, you can only get this special offer if you call now. And they give you the price. And you can have this marvelous product usually for $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And you've got to have this product. Call now. But wait, there's more. If you call right now, we'll give you two of these marvelous products for $19.95 plus separate shipping and handling. You've all heard this, haven't you? You've all been enthralled. Anybody ever order from it? I'm sure some of us have. And you thought, oh, I just really got to have that. And you find out later you could walk down to one of your local department stores and they have a section that says, as seen on TV. And you can get it there for the $19.95 and you don't have to pay the shipping and handling. And most of the time, quite honestly, why in the world would you need two raincoats for your dog when you don't even have a dog? You know? Well, we've all seen this and we've heard these pitches as they've gone out, and we've been amazed and enthralled by some of them. And some of them actually turned out to be pretty decent products, and others you wished you'd never seen. Well, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 3, I have some scriptures I want to share with you. And again, as last week, you might want to keep that backside of your prayer list out where you can write down some of these scriptures, because we won't have time in the service to go into all of them. But Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, and shall not be thrown down, that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? We hear people talking a lot about the end of the world today, don't we? I mean, even the secular folks talk about the end of the world. And of course, there's always been these cartoons that pop up from various magazines and newspapers of some guy in a long robe with a long beard with a picket-like sign that's marching up and down the street that says the end of the world is near, or the end of the world will come tomorrow. And we all remember that we just went through something a few months back where a particular gentleman advertised on billboards that the end of the world was coming on, I think it was May 20. 31st or whatever it was, and it didn't happen. Now he's changed it to December, I think, 12th, and I've got news for you. It's not going to happen the way he said on December the 12th either, but these things go on that we hear about the end of the world. Well, they were talking about, what are the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, let's back up a little bit. In the previous chapter, chapter 23, Jesus was in the temple. Jesus was in the temple quite often. And he's warning the people to follow good teaching and not the bad example that's being set by the scribes and the Pharisees. And who are the scribes and the Pharisees? If you were to put it in today's, it would be the religious leaders of their day. And they were setting some pretty bad examples. Well, as Jesus is doing this in partway chapter through 23, he proclaims then the 8 woes against the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. In fact, in verses 13 through 33 of chapter 23, he goes on and he talks about this. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. And there's 8 times in these verses of scripture that he says this, and he names particular things that they are doing, and we don't have time to get into all of that today. But then he ends this section with, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? In the remaining part of chapter 23, he speaks of the coming destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, closing then with, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Well, now, let's go back to where we were at. We're outside the temple. The disciples have questions. So I want to reread verse 1 here in the Complete Jewish Bible. And it says, as Yeshua left the temple and was going his way, his disciples came and called his attention to its buildings. Now, in the King James, it says, they showed him the buildings. You would think almost that they were giving him a tour. But they're calling his attention to these buildings. And from history and from what the Bible says, we know that this temple complex was a magnificent structure. It was beautiful. It had all kinds of beauty in it. And there were all kinds of various ornaments and instruments and things that were in there that were desirable. This had been built as a house to worship God, a house where the priests could go in and offer sacrifice unto God, a place where they could come and they could meet with God. It was a place of beauty. It was a place that was, it wasn't something that was just thrown up by a couple of shade tree builders. This was a place that was built with the best that could be possibly done, the best they had. And so they're saying to Jesus here, Jesus, look at these buildings. How in the world is somebody going to tear them down so that not a single stone is left standing? In other words, Jesus, how's this going to happen? Look at this place. How would somebody do this? Now, you got to remember, these are the same guys that have been walking with Jesus for close to 3 years here. And they've been with him and they've witnessed the miracles firsthand that he performed. In fact, Jesus had even sent them out, if you recall, and they went out and they performed miracles. The lame were made to walk, the blind eyes were opened, the sick were healed when they went out and they prayed for them. And so let's just skip back to chapter 21 for a moment. You see, before these events took place, Jesus is making his triumphant entrance into the city of Jerusalem. This is the last few days before the crucifixion. He's coming in to the city of Jerusalem, and the crowd is crying out, Hosanna! Which means what? Save us now! Save us now! Save us now! Save us now! and they're waving palm branches. They're strewing their coats in the way that Jesus' feet would not have to touch the ground even. This was a way of showing honor and praise to royalty. And they're saying, save us now, Hosanna to the King. Jesus, save us now. And then what do they say as well, as you read in the scripture here in chapter 21, verse 9, and the multitude that went there before or went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I bring this scripture up because they cried out, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were saying, the King is here. The King is coming. Blessed is he. The Messiah is here. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. When in just a few short days, the tide turned. In fact, we find possibly some of these same folks that are gathered around in a courtyard several days later that are instead crying out, crucify him! Crucify him! But during this time, Jesus has gone to the temple. He's spoken to the people. He's pronounced the woes against the scribes and the Pharisees. He's prophesied the destruction of the temple. And then as he's leaving these folks, he said, you will not see me again until they cry, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And I got news for you folks. One of these days we're going to be crying again, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Praise unto Jesus. Blessed is he, because we'll be welcoming back our King. We'll be welcoming back our Messiah. Back now to chapter 24. They're out here. They've had their temple tour, so to speak. The disciples have pointed out the complex, the buildings, and how magnificently they're built, and so on. And then they go to the Mount of Olives, where the disciples ask, verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The Greek word used for world is aion, which can also be translated age or course, eternal. To the Jews, this meant the coming of the Messianic period. They're not talking about the destruction of planet Earth. They're not talking about the end of planet Earth. They're not talking about some cosmic event taking place that leaves what we now know as planet Earth smithereens and cosmic dust. They're not talking about something like that. They're talking about, when is the end of this age? When do we enter into the Messianic age? When do we enter into the age of the Messiah? When, Jesus, do we enter in to your kingdom? That's what they're talking about. So when people talk about the end of the world, Jesus never said planet Earth is going to get zapped by something and it's going to be gone and that's all over and done with. No, he said this age that we're living in is what's coming to an end. And that's what's coming to an end, folks. Jesus tells his disciples then in chapter 24, and there's a lot to read there, but he talks about things that will transpire before the end of this age. And he says that there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes. And let's just stop. And famines. Let's stop right there at those first three. Wars and rumors of war, earthquakes and famines. What do we see right now? There's wars everywhere. We think primarily here about the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, but there's wars going on all over the world right now. Some are little turf wars, so to speak. You know, there's wars going on in the country of Mexico right now. It's the drug wars. not only Mexico, but other countries. There's wars going on right here in the United States of America among the gangs. It's happening, wars. We don't stop to think about that as wars, but it is. It's wars. It's groups of people that have come together, and they've come together for the purpose of taking out this other group so they can take control of what they have. And that's generally what a war is about. I don't care how big it gets, that's what it's about. Earthquakes. I think it was somewhere in New Zealand, I believe, or maybe it's Australia. I'm not quite sure. My memory's not quite clear on that. But they, in the last year, have had almost earthquakes every day. It's a particular area, and we don't hear a lot about it. But it's been very destructive to that area, and the folks are having to live with this earthquakes on a daily basis. I tell you, I lived in Southern California where they have earthquakes, and I don't like earthquakes. But there's earthquakes going on. There was the earthquake that happened in Japan, and we still are seeing the effects of that earthquake around the world. Famines. There's famines going on. We talk about the famines going on in various parts of Africa and some of the African nations. And I was just reading the other day in the newspaper that people have been giving to relief for these countries to send food to them. Except when the food gets there, it gets stolen. And it never gets to the people that are hungry, but it gets to a group of gangsters who take it and sell it or whatever else they can do with it. Famine. There's famine here in our nation too, in different ways. There's a spiritual famine, number one. There's physical famines in some ways. We've got people that are going to bed hungry. I received an item in the mail from Bill Wilson, who heads Metro Ministries in New York City, which ministers to the children, takes them to Sunday school. Some of these kids get the only meal they get on the weekend sometimes is what they get when they go to Sunday school. Some of the kids, the only love they get is when that bus picks them up and takes them to Sunday school. He was talking in this about one kid that his kid is climbing on the bus. If I recall correctly, he was about 6 or 7 years old. The kid's mom is screaming at him, "I hate you! I never loved you!" 6 years old. And that's what he's getting at home. There's a famine of love. People hate people today. There's an atmosphere of hate out there. It's prevalent. Then he goes on to speak pestilence. What's pestilence? Basically diseases. There's diseases out there. Things that we never heard of are coming to light. Diseases that we thought we had a handle on are making a comeback. And they're coming back, some of them with a vengeance, it seems like. Oh, yes, we're finding all kinds of new treatments for various things. I was just reading in the paper and talking to people in this past 2 weeks about a new treatment that's coming out for leukemia, and it's quite interesting because it causes the cancer cells to attack themselves, and it's a very promising treatment. But for everyone they seem to get a handle on, something else pops up. We were talking this morning, things that we haven't heard about happening. You know, years ago, you used to hear about people getting appendicitis all the time. And in this past week, not only have we had a member of our own congregation here have to have an appendectomy, but we've heard of other people that have had to go in and have their appendix removed. Things like that coming back. Pestilence. It can be disease, it can be insects, it can be germs, it can be all kinds of things, but there's pestilence that's coming. And he says, and I'll have to tell you, this ain't too good. because he says, and yet there's more. That's not the exact words in the King James. He says, and yet this is just the beginning, but it's the same thing. Yet there's more. There's going to be other things that's going on to happen, because he says then, he says, you will be afflicted. They shall kill you, and you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We have the articles in the bulletin today of the young girl who lost the use of her legs because her father tortured her and beat her because she'd accepted Jesus Christ into her life. We had in there about people that are condemned to death because they'd accepted Jesus Christ into their life, and they were tried and convicted of blasphemy. You can get up and you can call Yahweh God. And I always say Yahweh God anymore because I want people to know exactly which God I'm talking about. You can get up and people can curse his name, and they can blaspheme his name, and they can do anything they want about him. But don't you dare say anything bad about one of these others. You're a bigot. You're a talking hate speech if you do that. Some countries have laws that are that way. And you know what? Basically, the only people getting persecuted or convicted and persecuted are Christians, because they dared stand up for the name of Jesus. Could it come to America? You bet it could. It's on its way. The foot's in the door. And it may come through at any time. He goes on, speaks of false prophets who will deceive many. We see those out there all the time. There are people who got their hopes up that Jesus was coming back on May 21st. Didn't happen. There have been false prophets in the past who said Jesus was coming back on such and such date. People sold their homes, gave away everything they had, got themselves white robes and stood on a mountaintop. And then when that date passed, they were so disillusioned they wanted nothing more to do with Christianity, because they had been failed by a false prophet. There are false prophets that get up and teach other things, and we're not even going to go into that today, but they're out there and we all know about them. He speaks of the coming abomination of desolation as spoken of in the book of Daniel. He also goes on to say that even the elect. Now, what is the elect? That's the chosen. That's those who've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He says, even the elect, the chosen, if the days are not cut short, could be deceived. And I'll tell you, folks, there's things out there that are doing their best to deceive the Christian today and to make them look and have doubts about their faith. There's books out there that if you read them and if you start to really get into it, you can start to see how they're slowly trying to whittle down the Christian belief and the Christian faith. Oh, they don't want to get rid of the things about God and some of this other stuff altogether, because they want you to believe that all of these things come together and lead you to God. And that really, as one book is out there right now, tells you, we're all searching for atonement. And then they take the word atonement and they break it down at one-ment, that we become gods. And you know what? There's a lot of people get interested when they think, I can become God. I can become a God. There's been preachers who were supposed to be Christian pastors and Christian evangelists got up and taught, you're gods, you're little gods. I got news for you. You are not, and you never will be. You're adopted into the family of God. I can adopt a pig into my family, and I can call him Piggy Jr., but he'll never be a human being. He'll always be a pig. we're never going to be gods. We may be a child of God. We may be an adopted into the family of God, but we're never going to be gods. So if you're looking to be God, forget it. It ain't going to happen. He goes on, Matthew 24:24. For thou shalt arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. And that's what I was talking about there, just mentioned to you. But oh, wait! He goes on in 30 and 31. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of the heaven to the other. Oh, doesn't that sound great? Oh, but wait, there's more, because it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, oh, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let me read that again in the Complete Jewish Bible. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a rousing cry, and with a call from one of the ruling angels, and with God's shofar, those who died united with Messiah will be the first to rise. And then we, which are left still alive, will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Friends, I've got news for you. If you've got Jesus in your heart, one of these days that trumpet's going to sound. You're going to hear that shout that Jesus makes, and you're going to rise to meet him in the clouds. If you're in the grave, you're going to rise first, and second, split seconds behind, those who are still alive and remain will meet him in the air, where we will be with him forever and forever and forever, always united with him in the Lord. I've got some news for you today. Oh, the world will not end when some prophets say that it will. The world will not end on December 21st, 2012, because the Mayan calendar runs out. This current age will end, and it could end any time. But wait, if you're a believer, there's a better age coming. Oh, but wait, there's more. And it's not going to cost you $19.95 plus shipping and handling, because a fantastic beyond our wildest dreams of future awaits those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Too many times I think we get wrapped up in talking about streets of gold and pearly gates and mansions on a hilltop. Oh, it's more than that, my friend. It's more than that. It's much more. Oh, I tell you, it's an eternity with Jesus Christ. It's eternity with the one that loved us so much. It's eternity with the one who created us. It's eternity with the King of the universe. Oh, but wait. These will all pale. I tell you, these things about streets of gold and all that, when we're in the presence of Jesus. Jesus, you can forget that 1995, because he's already paid the price on the cross of Calvary. If Romans 5:8 says, for God commended his love toward us, that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, there's no shipping charges either, because you see, he's coming to pick us up. He's coming to get us. He's getting us right there. Oh, I tell you, we don't have to worry about any of that. How do I know this? Because Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Oh, we may be looking at some scary things in the natural, but I want you to know this. In Luke 21:28, he says, and when these things begin to come to pass, and they're coming to pass, my friend, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That same verse in the complete Jewish Bible reads, when these things start to happen, stand up and hold your heads high. Oh, because you're about to be liberated. You know, I can just imagine, we talk about World War II. We talk about the prison camps. We talk about the Holocaust. And I got news. I can just imagine that some of those fixed people that were prisoners in those prison camps in Germany, some of those Jews that were being held, that they were getting ready to kill them, that when the liberating troops came in and they began to march through the gates and they heard they were coming, they probably began to shout and say, "We're about to be liberated. We're about to be liberated." Oh, they kind of got a brief glimpse of what it's going to be like when Jesus comes for us. We're going to be liberated. We're going to be set free, and forever we'll be with Him. Oh, that's going to be a glorious day. Let's give praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 If you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, now's the time to ask Him into your life. The Bible tells us that Jesus said today is the day of salvation. Jesus left His disciples with these words, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's going to be with us. He's going to take care of us. And I don't care what kind of hell on earth we have to go through, He's going to be with us. He's going to be there. He's going to be waiting on us. And yes, there may be some things that we have to go through that might even take our natural life, but He's going to be there. He's going to be standing there waiting patiently for us. He's going to be there. And oh, I'll tell you, He's coming to pick us up. I preached a sermon a few years ago and I can't even remember the title of it right now, but I said, I believe that when a Christian dies, that God sends an escort to pick him up. And there's been some evidence to that fact that I believe God sends an escort. I believe He's standing by waiting. Oh, because He loves us and He cares about us. And if you're listening to me today and you're listening on the internet or some other means today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day. Now is the time to make that decision, because I've got news, my friend. You may not have much longer to make that decision. All you've got to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. And when you pray a simple prayer such as that, God knows what's on the heart, and He'll come in. He'll cleanse you from your sins. He's already paid that price on the cross of Calvary. You don't have to pay it again. You just have to simply accept that gift He has made available to you. And when He comes into your heart, your life will be changed. Your life will be changed forever if you let Him. Father, today as we close this message, Father, I just pray that if there's anyone that's listening today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, that right now the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts and draw them, Father, unto You. And Father, there will be many that will give their hearts to Jesus Christ. And Father, I'm just so thankful that I believe that someday, oh, when we get to the other side, when we get to those streets of gold and we're there in Your presence, we're going to meet some of those people who accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I thank You, Father, for what You're doing. And I thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.